Hello friends, welcome to this session on international marketing. I am Professor Ashish Hathi, who is taking you through this. Today we are going to cover chapter 4, very interesting topic, international trade, the barriers. So we will understand various aspects of barriers that has been imposed in the international trade. So what is the learning objective? Objective is for us to understand various types of barriers, understand non-tariff measures. So there are tariff based barriers, there are non-tariff based barriers. We will also understand the role of technical trade barriers. So essentially various types of trade barriers we are going to understand today. So just to introduce you this concept of these barriers, the trade barriers existed even before the World War. So every country, to protect their interest, will try to have certain things allowed, certain things disallowed, not allowed. Okay, now how do they do that? They do that through various direct taxes or non-direct means. So we will get into that. Technical thing also got added to that. World trade organizations and other bodies worked on minimizing various trade barriers. Barriers are the hindrance to the growth of business between two countries. So World Trade came into existence for that. Trade barriers are designed to discourage the import. As you know, the line is a meaningful wherein it is looked upon from the country, the home country. So they design the trade barriers to restrict the imports. So that's what they call it, a barrier. It also, trade barrier is an implication where the balance of trade, when you say balance of trade, whether my balance of trade is favorable or my balance of trade is negative. Balance of trade is whether I'm exporting more and importing less, then I have a positive balance of trade. But if I am importing more and exporting less, then I have a negative balance of trade. So this balance of trade also one needs to really understand. So why various countries have these barriers? Why do the country introduce these barriers? So of course this is to prevent any adverse impact on the country's economy, country's employability, employment numbers, etc. So employability of the people, as they say. Opportunities for employment to go down, etc. Protect the interest of the local manufacturers and all. So these are the various reasons. So to give you this idea, when country starts importing, what it can make. Now, when you are already capable to manufacture, you start importing, the manufacturing in your country will suffer. Reduction in the production capacity will happen. Reduction in production capacity means you require less people. So unemployment will happen. Classically, the example of US and China, Walmart is a very popular case. If you even Google it, you'll come across that how many million jobs have been lost when Walmart started shifting, and then now today they are totally relying on the Chinese producers for getting various products. Okay, IKEA is another example where also the employment losses happen. So these are the things. As a result, country introduced various barriers. It discourages importers to have a competitive advantage. So it is done so that the competitor, after coming into India, starts playing a game of competition because they have certain advantages. Then that will destabilize the home country's effectiveness in manufacturing, economy, etc. Cheap labor equal to cheaper products. So essentially, if the competitor enters India, suppose Indian labor is cheap. Now that cheap labor means cheap goods they can produce, and that goods, if they start selling in the India itself, the Indian producers will get impacted and the overall manufacturing will suffer. If India is freely allowed to export its cheap labor, importing countries, organizations cannot compete. Same is questioned about India's IT export. So way we are exporting, various countries are creating a kind of an hurdle. They feel that it's a threat to the people working there, their own people. Example of India's BPO business. That's today a very questionable this thing across the world. IT, as I told you, so that's also a questionable export by India. So you see, discourage importers to have a competitive advantage. So that's the reason why countries have the trade barriers. Protect country's small-scale industry. So every country have mid and large size, but they are also small manufacturers, small-scale industry, as they say. Trade barriers enables them to grow in a protected environment. So they are protected and they feel they will be able to continue to sustain themselves. Every country must strive to have balance between their exports and imports. So that's what we said, must not take corrective steps like a trade barrier. So if not, they must take the corrective steps. So, if suppose the balance of trade, as I have earlier spoken, if it is not favorable to protect your interests, you must take the corrective action, and the trade barrier is the route. Okay. World Trade Organization, persuaded developed countries, so that is already those who are considered as the developed countries, to facilitate the reduction of barriers against developing countries. So they started with the developed countries. Developed countries have imposed certain barriers. So unless those barriers are not removed, how will the developing country will adhere to WTO's drive for a barrier removals, etc. So they started with the developed countries. When that happened, and this was done without a reciprocal favor. So first WTO made developed countries to understand. They themselves started reducing the barriers in their economy. That was not in a exchange of similar this thing from the developing countries. Later on, the mutual interest came into picture. Second most important aspect is the foreign exchange control. Overall under the various nature of barriers we are studying, I'll go back purposely, international trade, the barriers. So even foreign exchange is control is a way of a barrier that one creates. It implies rationing of the foreign exchange availability. So you ration the availability of a foreign exchange, the people's ability to import naturally goes down. Controls impacts on purchase. It impacts the purchase ability of the sale of foreign currencies by residents or the non-residents. You cannot even, during those regime, sale of foreign currencies are also regulated. It also restricts the importer's capability to obtain foreign currency. So there is also restrictions on importer's ability for importing goods. He has to obtain the foreign exchange. Even that gets restricted per, you know, trade account or per this thing. They put an embargo, so that will create a limitations. Common foreign exchange controls are implemented. Common foreign exchange controls like restricting foreign exchange to importers who enter joint venture with a domestic firm. So if there is a person who enters the joint venture with the domestic firm out here, that means he is going to have a requirement for import in his country. You restrict the foreign exchange available to him. Okay, so thereby foreign exchange to the importers who enter a joint venture. So importer who enters a joint venture with your country's supplier, so he is going to drain your currency out there, you know, to his country. Prohibiting the use of foreign exchange currency within the country. Using foreign exchange to settle accounts within the country is also governed by the Reserve Bank of India. So these are the foreign exchange control based barriers. We continue to understand various common exchange, common foreign exchange related controls. Restricting the foreign exchange only to those companies for import of certain listed goods. Yeah. You will allow foreign exchange only to those companies who is allowed to import listed goods. Yeah. They are not in the restricted list. Restricting currency exchange to government approved exchange. So even restricting the currency exchange power of the government approved, there you see that foreign exchange traders, etc. Government imposes a restrictions on the volume or the amount that they can trade. Fixed exchange rate, you fix up an exchange rate, you know, irrespective of what is prevailing otherwise. So that way you restrict the lucrativity of your currency, and therefore that also makes the business of importing unviable. Governed by Foreign Exchange Regulation Act, there is a rule or the law being enacted under the Indian government, this thing, which is a regulation of foreign exchange. It can restrict the foreign investment in India. So what this rule states, what this legal provision states, restrict the foreign investment in India. They were industry wise also. Okay, so how much in each industry the foreign direct investment could be. In rarest of rare case, it is initiated at times to stop the international currency to decline. So many times if you are into a very adverse condition and you want to really protect the interest of your currency, then also you can impose various foreign exchange regulation controls. Then comes the 4.3, which is tariff. As the word suggests, it's an additional tax. Okay, so it's a source of revenue because you will get that additional amount when the goods are imported in your country. Described as a duty or a tax intended to generate revenue out of the goods imported in your country. it is also a tool to restrict the imports, because other words, what happens when you impose tariff, that is the tax, additional tax, this tax is to be absorbed by whom? So the importer. So that or his landed cost will go up, and as a result, if he decides to have the equal amount of margin what he was claiming otherwise, that means his final cost of sale will go up. So his selling will become costly. So now to remain competitor, he may have to not sell at that rate, but sell at a discounted rate. So his profitability will get restricted. So you see, it has a ability to restrict imports that way by playing with the landed cost of the goods. It is a tool that discourages the imports. So I have explained you with the equation. It protects the domestic manufacturer industry. So by doing that, the import of goods from the foreign country, making it costly in India, they are protecting the local industry. Protects against dumping also. When it is found that the foreign manufacturer is unwarrantedly selling goods at a lower rate, which is very illogical, then government imposes what you call an anti-dumping duty. Like India has done against China, India, US has done against China for certain items. So that's called as an anti-dumping duty. You may get a retaliation by the same country, that's okay, but I'm just trying to explain you the concept of how tariff and the dumping. Dumping is selling at a obnoxiously low rate, then it is viable. How one can determine? So there is also a science, there is also an art. One can determine that even if goods has to be produced there in bulk, how much minimum that it will cost. Now if you find the cost to be around or much less than that, that means the country is resorting, the country's supply, they're resorting to dumping. So then the country where the import is coming can take the corrective action. So that's about the tariff. Sometimes tariffs are imposed as a reaction to another country's decision. Reaction to another country's decisions, to implement tariff on the home country's exports. So like India has done it against China. So China has retaliated by putting restrictions on other items, putting tariffs on other items. Same way US-China. US is fighting with China on the steel because steel seems to be dumped in US. And as a result, US steel industry is facing a crisis. Now, when US did that, China has imposed, retaliatory tariff on US exports, which is taking place to China. So that is China's import from US is tariffed. And so that's what charged this particular amount of money. So how does the tariff work out? So they are being charged either as a particular amount, okay, per item, fixed amount, say 1,000 rupees per item of leather, or percentage value of goods imported, known as an ad valorem tariff. Generally, it's an ad valorem tariff, but many consumables and all, where it is very difficult to work out, then certain ad hoc amount are charged. So this is what the way the tariffs are imposed and calculated. In few cases, tariffs are structured to encourage also exports. So tariffs are many times structured to encourage exports. When the exports goods, when he exports goods, he gets a tariff reimbursement known as a drawback. So this needs to be kind of understood. But when you are exporting goods, okay, whatever the tariff that you pay, whatever the tariff that you pay in the country which is importing you, government absorbs that cost because government wants you to compete in that market, okay. And to make you competitive, government absorbs that cost which has been charged to you as a tariff. So that is known as a drawback. It's a reversal of your tariff being charged in a country where you have exported the goods. But that country's government has certain tariff on the goods that you exported. So you pay additional tariff there. Government of India will reimburse you that. So that is known as a drawback. Common tariff, one tariff applicable usually within a group of member countries. So countries have also later on come together to see that can they rationalize the tariff structure. So then they have worked out what you call a common tariff. So the common tariff structures have emerged by agreement between different countries coming together. There's a concept called transit duties. Okay. So many times the goods from the manufacturer to use the final user has to pass through multiple nations. Now, in that case, what is the role that the nation through which the goods is passing? Can it allow to be passed free? So then the answer was no, and in that case the countries were imposing what you call a transit duty. Okay, duty levied on the passing of goods once through one's country, reaching the another country. Okay, now transit duties are generally marginal in nature. Even those countries know they cannot really have a landed kind of a duty imposed on that. So they are marginal in this thing. However, they are still charged. Okay, so that country makes some revenue. Countries which have signed this Barcelona Statute Agreement, that the countries who have charged, signed this, they do not levy transit duties. So, if the goods of that member country to that statute transfers through the country, the transit duties are not levied. However, this is limited to waterways and rail transport. It is not limited to road. So, if the goods are moving through road transport, the transit duty can still be levied. Export duties or taxes. So, export duties are levied on goods and services being exported out of the country. So, these are again kind of a tariff which is a duty that has been levied to essentially maybe discourage the exports. Charge to receive funds for the country. It is done to either discourage the exports and also to get add something to the kitty. Countries or group of countries enter into agreement to either charge lower or no export duties. So, however, suppose if India is exporting onion to say Bangladesh, now India definitely earns money. India has an export surplus, this thing of onion, so that Indian supplies, Indian consumers goods needs are met. So country is allowing it, but in a way they want to also ensure that they earn money. Now suppose Bangladesh government approaches India government and they agree into an agreement, so either no export duties will be charged or very marginal will be charged. So that is also possible on tariff. Non-tariff measure, section 4.4. Tariff is a financial because it results out of the money transactions. While there are non-tariff measures also being implied by or were applied by many countries. So let's understand that it is a policy measures other than the duty structure, other than the financial implication route. So how does this happen? Implemented in such a way that they attract the prices or quantities of traded goods of both. Okay, so they affect eventually, though it is a non-tariff measure, they affect the price or the quantity of a traded goods. Okay. It can affect importers, exporters of both. So when there are non-tariff measures, either importer gets impacted, exporters get impacted, or both may get impacted. Impose, so we will, as we move forward, we will try and explain this. Impose in the form of a compliances, procedural completions, compulsions, administrative hurdles, time limits. So they are like Indian government asking for an inspection report by say exporting country's authority. So here, like if suppose tea is coming into our country, then Indian government will say we want a chemical clearance report by your government laboratory. So Sri Lankans exporting tea to India will have to also spend on getting the tea tasted and get the certificate. Now, naturally, this guy is going to charge it to my guy who is importing the tea in India. So, both are affected. It may be in the form of a time. So, custom procedures will be made complicated. So, the time taken is very high. Okay. So, that way, various hurdles or administrative hurdles are created. Or the cooling period is introduced. The time limit, they say the cooling period of 48 hours applicable. So, after the goods landed up in the country till 48 hours, nobody can touch the container, and then the container gets inspected for clearance. So, this way non-tariff measures are introduced. When you can't really use the tariff measures, because many times tariff measures are governed by your WTO agreement, World Trade Organization agreement, non-tariff measures are applied. It's not that WTO doesn't govern non-tariff. WTO governs all sort of restrictive practices. Then it works with the country or group of countries to minimize that. But till then, you have a choice of introducing non-tariff measures. There could be technical measures, pre-shipment clearances. So I told you, just gave you that example of a Sri Lankan tea exporter has to get the no chemical, use certificate from the FT board or the government laboratory. Non-technical measures, price control. Okay, technical measures are of that nature, or some environment clearance, or some packaging goods, certification, etc. Non-technical measures like price control, license fees, etc., lending license, or various kind of thing can come up, which you have to pay in the form of a money. So that's why they are non-technical as such. They do not come also under your tariff, this thing. And as a result, you have a smooth way of clearing that. Form of barriers. You create a barrier which can be in the form of a quotas. You fix a maximum quota that one can import. Okay, is so much. Or country can collectively import. So you put a quota, or you levy additional taxes, or you put embargoes, you totally prohibit, issue a sanction under some this thing which is allowed. So then that by you restrict the import. Used by large and developed economies, generally they do so to protect their local industries. In non-tariff barriers, there are no commercial implications. Okay, thus they have no financial penalties as such. So they are like non-financial methods to make the transaction difficult, and that difficulty adds to the cost in various ways, overheads especially. It is another approach to manage foreign trade with specific country. You can do this non-tariff this thing with specific countries also. So like USA's NTB, non-tariff barriers on India's textile. So that is what US has imposed on Indian textile coming to their country. So there are various non-tariff restrictions are being imposed, so making the trade difficult. So that's a non-tariff barrier. Five major categories of non-tariff barriers are, so we will just briefly understand this. Quantitative restrictions, as I have earlier said, quotas are import, either import and export quotas are. So this we are understanding non-tariff barriers means it is applicable to both exports from the country or import. So you impose a quota, that is maximum value volume. Customs procedures and administrative practices, you will either levy surcharges, you will have custom valuation, custom inspection report, or some government lab report, and that kind of cooling periods are introduced, etc. So that way you try to create a administrative barriers. Non-tariff charges and related policies, special sales tax, variable level levies, etc. So you apply those, these are not non-tariff, they are not a tariff structure, they are not duty. But you still can apply this kind of a charges. Technical barriers to trade, health and sanitary regulation, compliance with those certification is needed, quality standards, you give us a quality assurance from the laboratory of your country, and that way you try to create a barrier to the trade. Yeah, so that's a non-trade barrier. So we understood this four. Hidden trade barriers. Now as the name suggests, they are not visible, yet they create a kind of a barrier. Okay, now this hidden trade barrier could be non-governmental. They are not by the government necessarily, they are non-political, not out of the political compulsions. However, they adversely affect the confidence of the foreign partner. So how does this happen? Multi-window clearance. You make him go from window to window. Government first get us the environment clearance, then get us a civil clearance, then get us laboratory test report clearance, etc. You make him, you create the clearance, this thing very difficult, and thereby you create a barrier to the trade. Poor responsiveness, responsibility ownership, that file will lie unattended, that you will say that is not a significant, this thing for us. And you will purposely, kind of delay, defer a decision making, giving you the clearance and the license, etc. Judiciary and legal systems, means they create a kind of a barrier, way they function, their cases pending, the time it takes, the compliances, enforcements, etc. If not very strong, then that's a hidden trade barrier. Company wanting to do an import with you or an export from your this thing will think two times at least, if not 10 times. So that's a question. Local content rule. So many times you introduce so much percentage of this thing should be local. Okay, so that local resource use restricts this guy's ability to import raw material and manufacture for exports. So if you say that 80% of the material used should be Indian or the home country, this thing, then this guy's ability to produce export worthy goods to be competitive in the foreign market goes down, and thereby he will then not get into doing it. Discourage the unwarranted imports, and you try and put a various other discouragement to import particular item. You are not upfront about it, but you will make it very difficult for the importers. So that way, this is a hidden trade barriers. Further, other hidden trade barriers are packaging and labeling. So creating rules and regulation even for that, which is no doubt essential, but then you make it complicated to implement. So certain specific manner only, certain specific material of packaging, certain specific declaration needed. Okay, you need exporter, importer, exporter, repackagers details also being asked. You need manufacturer's name, etc. So many times, because this is, you know, branding. So now you see on the Colgate toothbrush, manufactured by, and then you will have a line, marketed by Colgate toothbrush, etc. So you create this kind of a thing. If the business is lucrative, those companies have found the way. But otherwise, it creates a kind of a restrictions, which is a hidden restrictions. If you have to put a repackaging, country of origin, now you see that's also country of origin is a kind of a hidden trade barriers. It opens out warnings, cautions, etc. The cigarette smoking and the various lead content, now that has been, you know, also been asked, etc. So thereby on the packaging and labeling standards, when you make it very stringent, very specific, it creates a kind of a hidden barrier. There will be other barriers which are hidden barriers. Deliberate delay in releasing goods from the customs. It is written nowhere, but you will find that the customs are taking unduly long. They may be under some directive which is probably not promulgated as a requirement or anything, but due to reasons best not known to you, you find that these goods are getting too delayed. Okay. Reclassifying it under a high tariff category. Now this classification of goods are again a madness which every manufacturer has to overcome. GST, we are noticing it, that, you know, how you look at it. So for example, I think the curd and the milk product faced that as an issue, where manufacturer thought it is this classification, the GST authority says it is this classification, therefore different rates are applicable. So it likewise in the trade barriers terminology, you classify these goods as another category, and thereby it entitles you to create or receive charge more tariff, that kind of thing. So that's a hidden barrier. Giving subsidies to country's own industry. So that's also a hidden trade barrier. You make your home country products viable for the home country users, and because you are subsidizing, they are far cheaper, foreign country sellers cannot compete. So that's also another form of a hidden barrier. Then we come to the technical barrier to trade, TBT as it is called, technical barrier to trade. Very interesting, it is an international treaty implemented by WTO that applicable to all member countries. Okay, this is like an agreed understanding of what kind of minimum compliances that one need to follow. Now if you really increase above that, then you are creating a kind of a barrier. Refers to mandatory technical regulations and voluntary standards that define specific characteristics that a product should have, such, okay, as its size, shape, design, label, packaging, etc. So they have defined acceptable standard. They have defined acceptable standards applicable across the world, across the signed countries, as per the agreement. However, additionally, there are other objectives like protecting the natural resources. A country wants to protect the natural resources within their control. Control imports to grow the domestic industries. You want to allow domestic industries to grow. So from that minimum agreed standards, you will make it difficult. You will make it difficult. So this is like a technical barrier to trade. So agreement is to have a minimum agreed standard. But when you add things to that. Compliances are needed to certain additional this thing that you have specified. It creates a kind of a technical barrier to trade, but they are like a technical in nature. Okay, specifications, quality of raw material, etc. Quality of say lithium ion battery, then you put say of this grade, you know, the material should be of this grade, etc. Now internationally it may be that grade why, but you say you want grade Z, far higher this thing, then it's kind of a creating a technical barrier to trade. TBT, the regulation, various testing methodologies and certifications. You create need for testing, you create need for methodology of valuation, methodology for certification. That way you compel the importer to comply with or exporter to comply with. That's also a technical barrier. Ensure they do not become the barrier to trade. While you frame this, if the intent is to not restrict the business, fine. Otherwise, they are the barriers to trade. How? The question comes, defining a standard and specify various characteristics of a product, specifies way to label and pack goods, other process standards, very important. So, one can do this by ensuring that common this thing is arrived at, common standards arrived at to specify various aspects of the product. Okay, how do you label, how do you pack? So if you arrive jointly, then it becomes a facilitating attribute, otherwise it becomes a technical barrier to trade. There may be other process standards that you impose which will create a technical barrier. Okay, standards, when you say a word standards, they are barriers or facilitators to the international trade. Okay, when you specify that I want minimum this, you know, that's a standard. Different standards as per the country needs to be complied with to get better market share. So we have a BSI standard, Bureau for Standard, this thing in India. So if those guys who are exporting goods to our country, if they have to follow that, okay, they follow that to convey to people that we meet your standards, but it's in a way a technical barrier for the exporter. Needs complete procedural change, thus expenditure, which is done, adds to the cost. Many times what happens, the exporter has his own standards. To prove it to you that they adhere to your standard, they will have to undergo a complete different way of manufacturing or process change, etc. at their end. That itself may entail additional cost for him. Producing in his own way may cost 30 hours, but producing to meet your specific requirements, he may need to invest 40 hours of manufacturing time. So that 10 hours is an additional cost for him. So that is, gets added to his cost. Pre-approval expenditure on testing. So you create, need for testing. You have to have a testing certification. You have to have an inspection done. You have to have subject matter or a professional consultation, etc., to be done before exports, etc., or at the port of export, lending, etc. So that all is a cost that gets added to the exporter's lending cost, and they are like a technical barriers to trade. So standards are created where they become facilitating or a barrier. We just discussed about being a barrier. Exporting countries, exporters get support from government. So now probably the facilitating side. In India, the government tea board supports the exporter. So they will do the tea testing before goods is exported, and they will issue a certificate. Now that certificate is an acceptable standard, okay, by various governments across the world. So your goods will not unnecessarily being stopped there in terms of a quality. That's the support. So that becomes a facilitation for the exporters out here. TBT agreement when you arrive. So then you will really declare minimum standards. You will overcome the barriers based standards. You will arrive at a common understanding that will facilitate countries to recognize each other pursuit for quality. Each other pursuit for quality to safeguard their people's interests. Okay. So TBT agreement helps WTO members to establish national inquiry points. That is a single point to obtain standard based information. So there is a body, a WTO body, which publishes good practices standards under TBT. So how they do that? They work with the non-governmental bodies and the private standard bodies to develop a standard for that country. They arrive at a common standard that is to be prevailing across business when it is an international business. Okay, and when that gets adopted, when that gets accepted, that standard will be applicable across to different countries. So exporters, prior to taking the order, also knows what are the minimum requirement that he has to follow. So that way he will orient itself, his product design and various things right from the beginning, rather than knowing the hurdles in the advanced stage of order execution. What is the code of good practice under TBT? So this is what this code sets out, the rules for governing bodies to develop voluntary standards. So overall standards are fixed up by government bodies. They are like a voluntary standards. You know, they will issue standards which is according to them, volunteer, you know, yourself to comply with this, so that your international business will be aligned with the international business norms. Various bodies accepts and comply with those codes. So like essentially, though it's being volunteer, this thing, various trade association and bodies have accepted, so the member under them will comply with that. World Trade Organization has published this standard code directory, okay, and the same is available to exporter, as I earlier just mentioned. They provide systematic information about various prevailing standards mutually agreed upon, standard operating procedures if any. So for exporting goods and, you know, the particular type of goods, etc., so that people have an advance intimation while dealing or entering the foreign market. Okay, so friends, yes, this chapter I am sure you will accept was very supposedly important and informative, as it deals with various ways in which the barrier can be created to the international business and how one works to kind of overcome. WTO works to overcome the barriers, but barriers are a acceptable part of any international marketing. So you should have that idea, and we have obtained that. Thank you.